everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. I'm going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. We got a great week of show. Sam Talent is here. He's on the show today. I just talked to him. It was great. You love Sam. If you don't know who Sam is, have you been following comedy for the last couple of years? Well, listen, this is your week to catch up on who Sam Talent is. He's headlining this weekend. You're going to love the interview we did. It was super funny. And we'll get into that. But let's tell you what's going on this week, because we do have a full week of shows. It's Tuesday the 14th as we're recording this, 14th of October. And that means Detroit to L.A. is back tonight at 7:30 p.m. Whole group of young comics trying to win a trip to L.A. They're going to do it here on this show tonight. Robin Gillerin is your MC and Jason Gillerin is closing. You've heard Robin on this show and they're a husband-wife team, and just a whole fun roster of comics. You get to vote. Detroit to L.A., 7:30 p.m. tonight on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, the beginner comedy class, the 101 comedy class, has their showcase at 7:30 p.m. That's people who've just wanted to try comedy. They thought about it. They thought they'd be funny. Maybe a friend gave them a gift, said, go take the beginner comedy class with Bill Bouchard. This is their chance to show off what they've learned over that class at 7:30 on Wednesday the 15th. And Sam Talent, of course, comes in this weekend, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday the 16th, October 17th on Friday, 7:15 and 9:45, and 7 p.m. and 9:30 are your shows on Saturday. Five big shows with Sam Talent, and this guy is everywhere. Sam was on Kill Tony last night. He's been on several of the Kill Tony shows as the panelist, as the judge, if you will, and does an awesome job on those. His book, Running the Light, we talked to Sam. I'm trying to see what year, show 192 from July of 24 was the first time I talked to Sam. We talked a lot about his book, Running the Light, but that got the attention of a lot of comics because, you know, it was such an inside look at stand-up and such a great look at a comedian's life on the road that is a fictional book, but it was really all about what it was like to be a stand-up comic and the pitfalls of that. He also hosts his Chubby Behemoth podcast, and he's been on just a million shows, the Joe Rogan Experience. He's got multiple specials on YouTube, which you'll hear me talk a lot about. The Toad's Morale, which is his most recent release, which I really loved, and we'll get deep into that on this show. So I really think Sam is, one of the best guys out there. Could be bigger star than we can even hold at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in a little bit. So this is your chance to come out and see him. Five big shows, so come out for those, will you? I hope you will. Real quick before we get more into Sam, we do want to plug the comedy cast, the next advanced comedy class that I'm teaching. That'll start November 1st. Got my students really working hard in this current group, and we were at the open mic last night at the New Way Bar trying to be funny. It worked better for them than it did for me when I went up, but I ended up getting some laughs towards the end, so I showed my skills a little bit. But, it's super fun. If you've done the beginner class with Bill Bouchard, you want to take the advanced comedy class. It runs for 6 weeks on November, starting on November 1st. It'll run through mid-December on Saturdays at 12:30. Call the Comedy Castle at 248-542-9900. And that holds up as well. If you want to you've never done comedy, you want to do the beginner class with Bill Bouchard, call the club at that same number, 248-542-9900. And ask them when the next beginner comedy class is, because those start all the time with Bill. I believe he has Saturday and Monday sessions running through the end of the year there. So you can get on that. And then you do Bill's and you do mine. Or if you're a comic who's been doing it for a while, you want to get better, you want to learn what it's like to be a professional, take the advanced comedy class. I want you to do it. All right. With that being said, Sam Talent joined me. We had a super fun interview. Some of the things we got into, Sam is a international traveler and performer. I wondered how you get going in that direction as an American road comic, and he will tell you there. We'll also get into why he loves living in Detroit. So that is the thing now. that Sam has been doing for just over a year, about a year and a half. He's been a Detroiter, and he'll tell you what it's like about being a Detroiter, what it's like to travel and be a Detroiter and tell people you're from Detroit, and what do they say with back to you. We'll also talk a little bit about, well, talk a lot about the Toads Morale, his new special. My favorite joke from that special, the Churchill Downs joke, which I loved. He'll tell us why Josh Blue is a genius, which is, you know, Josh has been on this show many times, and I agree with that. But he gives us a great story about Josh. We'll find out what happened to Lund. No Lund this weekend. Nathan Lund is usually Sam's opening act, but we don't have Lund. We'll find out where that is. But just too much to talk about, too much good stuff with Sam. When you first hear this interview, you know, before we do these interviews, in most cases, there's a little bit of pre-interview. There's a little bit of, hey, how you doing? Here's what we're going to do. We'll be done in about 30 minutes. Anything you want me to talk about, if you need to go, just say, hey, I got to go do that thing, and then you go and do it. I do all of those things with the comedians I interview. And Sam said, just the only thing I need, Joel, is I got to finish this last bite of the sandwich, and you got to vamp for me, and then you can bring me in, and it'll be all be good. And I said, okay, let's start. And you're going to hear that right at the start. Sam, me, I guess, not doing my job. I don't know. I feel like I might have been set up. What can I tell you? It's just so fun. Love Sam Talent. You're going to love this interview. Let's listen to Sam right now. We'll be back after that. Sam Talent. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a real pleasure. I'm laughing already because I'm speaking once again to Sam Talent, our weekend headliner. Sam, how are you today? Well, he's eating it. Yeah, you're eating a tuna sandwich. It's the last bite. No, and I thought,
you dirty dog.
I know. I didn't
you
give you enough.
You literally said, I will give you enough runway. Time
no, I didn't.
To finish your tuna sandwich.
I failed.
You turncoat. Mm. At two, Joel. What the heck?
Well, but here's the thing. I figure I was sort of going by maybe how long it would take me to finish the last bite. I mean, we're sort of in the
you
same.
You and I are not the same, Joel.
Well.
God, how I quick. Think how, we're... how, what are you only, is it only white bread for you? Is it like a soft white bread bite?
I guess. You
yeah, just
right
use the top of your mouth and your tongue. You don't have to use your teeth.
So this is some sort of ciabatta. What are we talking here? What are we breading?
It's, you will never know what kind of bread I have now, Joel. After that stunt you pulled to open this up. I get it. You're the big dog. I see the Dearborn number rolling in. I know who it is. It's Joel.
I don't know. I don't think that's a Dearborn number. Does it say Dearborn?
It said Joel Comedy Castle, and under it, it said Dearborn for some reason.
Well, I have a 313 number. I thought I had Detroit cred, but apparently it says Dearborn.
No.
I live in neither of those places, but
where do you live? Livonia?
Ferndale, Michigan. How about that?
Ferndale,
Michigan. Yeah, Ferndale's great. Yeah.
Ferndale's killer, man. Yeah, wonderful. Madison Heights is killer.
I don't know about that.
I love the whole zone. What, you don't like Chinese food, Joel?
Yeah.
Madison Heights is number one.
I used to do my laundry in that one plaza behind the 7-Eleven.
And then you quit have a ticky.
I used to go to the laundromat and it was fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Walk by.
Yeah, I didn't think you were doing it in the riverside, Joel. I assumed it was right. A laundromat.
Well, yeah. All right. So here we go. We're going to get back on track here. Sam.
Yeah, come on.
It's your weekend at the Comedy Castle. It's so fun to have you back at the club. And
I'm overjoyed.
Yeah,
I can't wait to come in.
It should be
wonderful.
I'm
pulling out all the stops for promotion to make sure that every demographic is spoken to via me. I'm doing this revered podcast.
Yeah,
I did some collab stuff with a rapper and with Wayne County Life.
Okay.
And also, I think I have a Kill Tony coming out today.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing WDET. Oh. I mean, I'm all over, man. I'm going to see the Hive Mind Kids. Literally, every favor is being pulled in to get people out there this weekend.
And hopefully it's a great turnout for you.
Well, I don't want that guy, Bill, who has been the door guy up there, to ring me out.
Well, Bill's just do, if you tell us you're doing an hour and you do an hour in 1 minute, then you got to face the consequences of Bill.
Oh, yeah, just Bill, that chaps his ass.
And I always tell, you know, I always kind of go, this is more like, this is not like painting a house. It's more like painting a canvas doing comedy, you know? Precision's okay, wow. But art is sort of overrides that. So I don't mind.
No,
I don't mind an extra minute.
I do. No one's going long this weekend. You all heard right. it. If the show starts at 7, it'll be over at 8:30, right. Or Bill will light the fuse. Right.
How long we giving Lund this weekend, then? Let's work this out.
Lund can't come, dude. Lund's going into business for himself.
No, Lund.
Lund is at Go Bananas Comedy Lund. Club headlining his own weekend.
Oh.
I know.
Good God.
I don't know who canceled, but they called him, and he said, I can do it, you know? They were like, "Well, you do it for 1,200." He said, "I'll do it for 8." And they said, "What?
Well,
what are you?"
I mean, I guess that's great for Lund, but I mean, it's our loss. Their gain is our loss. At the
I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
He's my number one.
Yeah.
And if I tell Nathan Lund, "Hey, buddy, I need a minute to finish this tuna sandwich. Why don't you vamp a little? I know that I can trust him.
Oh,
he's
man.
Not going to leave me high and dry.
I'm no
like
Lund.
A certain Joel."
I failed. I'm not Lund. I'm just not him. And I'll never be him. I got to just
no
be
is.
The best Joel I can be.
And hey, guess what? You're nailing it, bro.
Thanks, man. Thank
okay.
you. Appreciate that.
When I think top Joels, I think of you. I don't think Goddard. I don't think McHale.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
There's a few of us. A couple of
yes,
Joels.
Yes, the other two I could name.
I was going to say, let's name some Joels. But yeah, they're famous. Yeah, I've heard of them. But
I have Elena Banfield coming.
She's terrific. Yeah, absolutely. She'll do a great job.
She's running her very difficult material that she has about her what she survived. So she's like, she's recording all that stuff. And I was like, are you running it? Like, are you being able to run the whole special? And she's like, no. So I was like, okay, come run it in front of my crowds.
Yeah.
And then no matter what happens, I can get up there and, you know, clean it all up.
Right. Yeah.
So
dig as big
we have
hole
the
as
talented. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this stuff that she's talking about in this half hour is like, holy shit.
Sam, tell me, Detroit has been your home now for some time. And
since May 31st of last year.
Yeah, and that's when we talked. We talked July of last year. So how has
that's
it
right.
been in the last year plus here living as a
Joel,
Detroiter?
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
It's a lot
you
of
got everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You got everything you want. And also, like, the city itself, dude, is beautiful. Like, the architecture.
Yeah.
Like, the former glory of this place's prominence, like, you know, when they were the Paris of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Like, when all the hopes and the expectations were on the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
That still remains in the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like go to the Renaissance Center, see every car ever in this beautiful, brutalist, like, you know, like that building. If Detroit had survived and kept flourishing the way that it was, like that building would be talked about and revered and like taught.
Mm.
And you can just walk in there. Maybe you're a little stoned. It's the middle of the day. The city's abandoned. You go to the Renaissance Center on a Tuesday, like, you never have to leave. Like, I bet people live in the walls of the Renaissance Center. And then you get on that people mover and you can get all over. I mean, it's just, I love it. And the Lions, that was a nightmare last night, personally,
last night,
for me.
Great,
Well, look, dude, I'm a Broncos guy.
Oh, okay. So KC is the enemy completely.
I hate KC. And the fact that the Lions are in the NFC is such a boon for me because now I'm sitting here in my, you know, Sewell jersey with my mother-in-law and my wife. It's like, we're fired up. We love the Lions. But when they're playing the Chiefs, it's like there was even more. I wanted it so bad because I hate the friggin' Chiefs, Joel.
All right.
Wow. So anyway, that's a long way to – I love living in Michigan, bro.
Detroit's working.
I love it. Yes. Yeah. It's so pretty. And right now, like now that like this
time.
Little in between, it's insane.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to live here.
It's very nice out there now.
And it's cool because I go everywhere and people are like, whoa, you moved to Detroit. Like, what's that like? And I'm like, you need to come. It is so pretty. I was at Jazz Fest. That was awesome,
okay,
man.
Yeah.
I mean, and like the city's love of the Lions is so unique to this place. Like people clearly do love their teams. Mm. But like I was out to dinner the other day, dude. Like I went to like a nice restaurant in the city with my wife.
Yeah.
And we got in there and there was like a 65-year-old black woman who was our hostess. And, you know, I'm wearing my Sewell jersey and she's like, oh, my God, he's a generational talent. Like our offensive line is so good. You know, she's like Decker's over there with the neck roll. I mean, between those two foundational pillars on our, she's like, she is going in depth about the offensive line of this football team. And that is not a conversation that you typically have anywhere you go. Nice. And then the server comes over and he is like, you know, he was a bigot's caricature of a gay man. And he comes over and he's like, oh, my God, Sewell, if Amon-Ra does not get a touchdown, I will not be able to pay my mortgage. Like he had like $1,200 on Amon-Ra to score a touchdown. And it's just I find that so charming. I love the way this city like is proud of its teams, mm-hmm. is proud of itself. Like anyone who like stayed is so proud of themselves and anyone else who stayed, like just the feeling of camaraderie, fraternity that is alive in Detroit is like. I don't know. It's unlike anywhere else. And it makes me really stoked, not just on America, like on Detroit, but also on America.
Yeah.
Cause like, you know, say what you will about like whatever's going on, but Americans themselves are good people. And when people come to Detroit, like I can't wait to show people off when they come to town.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love to get in there. It's just so pretty, man. Yeah. And I'm anyway, sorry. I'm stoked.
You're great.
I have this conversation like maybe like 20 times every weekend wherever I am in the merch line or in the green room, and it's like it's awesome. Number one River Rock in the world, you know, it's not just what they say at the airport. It is awesome.
It is awesome. And then but you also and maybe that gives you more better perspective on Detroit, but you travel internationally in places doing comedy more than just about anybody I've met. Why that emphasis on going to Europe? You did comedy in Japan, these kind of places. Why that focus for you with your career?
I mean, honestly, man, the world is so big and we're so small inside of it. That like, I love going places and just seeing like, you know, dude, as a comic, like you get really lost up your own ass all the time. Like you have to be narcissistic and you have to be selfish and you have to, you know, the first 3, 5, 10 years of comedy is just lying to yourself that it's all going to work out. It's like that self-denial, that like that facade that we have to build around the reality of how difficult it is to be successful in comedy. Like, it's just nice to break out of that and go places where no one gives a shit if you live or die.
Yeah.
Like where people like are living these other lives that are so much like, I don't know, there's so much more nutrition in the lives that I see in Europe. Just the way of life, the walking, the lack of cars. Like you go to all these places in the world and you don't have to be in a car for the entire duration. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really love like the individualism that is American and the cowboy spirit and how like we did bail the, you know, we bailed the world out a couple times and we had a lot of goodwill.
Yep.
And now we've really, you know, we've mortgaged that goodwill. And stand-up's cool, man, because like you get the opportunity to see places. Mm-hmm. Like I saw America from 18 to 30. I was lucky enough to see America doing stand-up, playing in bands. And I love America. And then, you know, I got into Canada and I saw Mexico and it's like, I really just want to see as much as possible. And due to stand-up being this great trick, like, you can go to Berlin and you can make 600 euros and they'll give you a hotel room and you'll meet all these people who live there. It's not like I'm going to Tokyo and it's all expenses paid. It's like you go and hopefully it pays for half of your hotel for the week. But if you can offset these things with stand up financially, like, I don't know, man. I love the world. I love people. I love food. I love culture. I love going to the ballet. Like, I saw the number one cello recital in the world in Brussels on accident. Like wherever you go, you're going to get exposed to some freaky deaky shit that you're not going to know about. And I just happened to have really wrung all the marrow out of America at a young age, back when I was partying, back when I was chasing tail, back when I was sleeping outside. Like, so now it's like, I want to see other places, you know?
Nice. That's great. Yeah. But yeah, the thing is, for a lot of comedians, they live by that. Well, how much am I taking home from this gig thing? And either that, or they feel like, well, how do I get into, you know, these European places to do comedy when you're, you know, the place, you know, the place down the street won't book you. That's another thing that comedians.
For sure. And like, I was always like cool with the idea of, hey, I'll come and do the show and we can pass the hat. Like, I was always okay with like, I'll sing for my supper. Mm. And that's how I did stand up initially. It's like, hey, you meet someone, they're like, I run a show in Kansas City. If you want to come out, like, you know, we can pass the hat. You can sleep on my floor. It's like, yeah, sure. Let me earn it. So I think that, and also English stand-up is kind of like really exciting to Europeans and other places in the world. Like, and it's new. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like getting in on the ground floor of like, you know, like I was one of the first people to stand up in, you know, Bratislava, in Finland, like Estonia, you know, and I met Ari Matti in Estonia and now he's got a Netflix special. Okay. So yeah. And I'm trying to sell the tickets in Royal Oak. So, you know,
he's big in Estonia, everybody. Sam Talent, here he is.
And when I did stand up in Estonia, I was like, oh, this is the worst show I've ever done. Because like, laughter is illegal. I guess the Russians took that too. Oh, and then I got off stage and people were coming up and they were like, thank you for returning mirth to my life. This was the thrill of a lifetime. And I was like, well, you could have fucking laughed at all. That would have been cool too.
Well, do you feel that sort of American stand-up comedy as it exists in 2025 and in the last few years, where there's been a boom and where there's so much sort of, you know, web content and YouTube and podcasts, that that's becoming a great sort of American export? That is a sort of our product, in a sense, that we can export to the world that doesn't exist everywhere.
Yeah, it's really cool that it's one of those things we invented.
Yeah.
It's like we invented comedy, rock and roll, jazz, and then arguably pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's like, as far as contributions to the world stage, I think along with Marlboro cigarettes, Coca-Cola, and Levi jeans, like, America's cool.
Yeah.
That's like the only cultural cachet that we have anymore is like, we are cool.
Yeah.
And the stuff we do is usually innovated upon and iterated upon by the rest of the world. Obviously, K-pop has kind of like taken that away from us. But it's neat that it's okay.
That's
it's okay.
We'll let them have that for a little bit.
They can have music.
They can have it.
But I mean, I travel and I do stand up. You know, I was in Australia for a month. I did London and Scotland and like all the places where they also do English speaking stand up. Mm-hmm. Like, they still kind of look to us as the benchmark.
Yeah. Right.
But there's certainly super funny people that exist outside of America that, you know, like if you become the top of your industry in Australia, like that glass ceiling is very, very low. So they do invariably have to come to America if they really, want to make it, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's interesting. And then what else going on with you? Special, the Toad's Morale. I watched that whole thing today. So funny.
Oh, nice.
Really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that.
It's just jokes.
Yeah, it was great.
Joel, let me ask you. Yes, do you think that comedians people should leave a comedy show thinking, God, that comedian was smart? or like, God, that comic really knew his politics. Or, boy, I agree with everything he said.
Yeah.
Is that what you hope people say when they leave your show?
No, I think it's a place for people to probably turn their brains off a little bit and just let...
boy, that was funny.
It was
that's
funny
all
stuff,
I care about.
Yeah.
Well, turn your brain off.
Yeah.
Come to the club for 90 minutes. You don't have to think. I'm going to do everything I can to make you laugh as hard as you possibly can.
Right.
I use every part of the buffalo up there.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do a funny. I'll wiggle my body around. You might hear a voice or two. I mean, so like the Toad's Morale was just, I remember listening to Skanks for the Memories or like Hedberg back in the day. Yeah. And you'd listen to it and you'd be like, God, that was a great hour. I don't remember a fucking word that guy said. You know?
Yeah.
Like we all remember some Mattel bits, but and Hedberg bits, but I remember just watching so much live stand-up when I was learning it. Like, I'm still learning, obviously, but like as a kid, like 18, 19, 20, when you're at the mics and then you get to like go to the club on Wednesday and watch the local headliner where you get out of there and you're like, oh my God, I was crying. I don't remember a damn thing that anyone said.
Well, you remember you remember the feeling the comedian left you with.
Yeah.
More than what they said.
But I think a lot of comics now are very worried about like, oh, I hope people think I'm smart. And it's like, I don't give a shit if they think that I can count. I just want them to laugh and like leave in pain and get their money's worth. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that to sell this. I just think that a lot of like comedy is getting up its own ass and I really don't care about that.
You're not going that way. Well, I'll tell you the joke that I don't know if this is the comic in me or whatever. The Churchill Downs joke on that special.
Hey, Joel, my man.
Just crushed me. And I went like, what a great joke. And then I'm thinking back on it. I'm like, yeah, maybe you're not supposed to tell that joke, but who in the world would be offended by that joke? And that's a treat there. And I get where you even said in the thing, like, yeah, this one's, I'm not doing this one anywhere else. They wouldn't.
No, that one doesn't make it outside of the river areas of Ohio and Kentucky.
Unbelievable, though. That was terrific. That got me completely. But that's the thing about
you.
Explain.
I appreciate that.
Just have more.
Well, let me run this by you, Joel. You're a comedian.
Let's do it.
So last night, I'm sitting here watching the Lions' valiant effort. And I told my wife and my mother-in-law that my dad had recently gone to the proctologist.
Okay.
It's, you know, he's at that age. He has to get frequent checkups. Every man should. Yep. Some, they say at 35 nowadays, you know.
Okay.
My wife's shaking her head, but she's a doctor. What does she know? So anyway, I told her and my mother-in-law, I said, my dad went to the proctologist, and the proctologist, I guess he only had 8 fingers, Joel.
8 fingers?
They were all in one hand.
They're all on.
Now, Joel, you're laughing very hard.
I'm laughing.
Compared to my wife and my mother-in-law and the tumbleweed of awkward silence that blew through our living room.
What if I say I didn't get it, but I still laughed in the sense of the visual of 8 fingers on a hand is funny.
You now, what if it wasn't a proctologist, Joel?
Okay,
Did you have your expectations up too much that there was going to be some proctology joke?
I'm looking for where the butthole or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I could say I just know. I know a guy. He's got 8 fingers. He's a great guy. You might be thinking 8 fingers. That's not crazy. They're all in one hand.
Yeah, that is a good joke. Yeah, when you say I think proctologist set me up for
you thought there was going to be some butt fingering.
I don't know. It reminded me of guy goes to the doctor, pulls down his pants. He's got 5 penises. Did you ever hear that?
No.
He says, I got 5 penises. And the doctor says, how do your rubbers fit? And he says, like a glove. You know, that's an old joke, but that's where my brain went.
That's a great joke.
That's where my brain is full. It's an old, you wouldn't do that on stage, but
You might speak for yourself, Joel. I got to turn over some material.
Hey, here's one you can use in your skit, Sam. Guy goes to the doctor. That's Thanksgiving perfect. For a comedian, I think.
I love it.
Use in your skit there. Next time you're up there, Joel. Yeah, they tell you.
Yeah, I get a lot. I used to get a lot of that. And then my dad one time at Christmas when I was like 23 and I had never been more self-serious in my entire life. My dad asked me to tell a joke and he was a teacher. And I said, hey, Dad, why don't you teach us long division? And that was the end of any requests.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm constantly inundated with family looking to be part of the show. And it's like, no, it's not.
They just want to help, Joel.
They want to help. They're helpful.
Yeah.
Tell me about because here's the thing, too, that I really gleaned from the Toad's Morale. Your ability to just kind of change topics and flow from things without, I never feel the formalism of comedy, you know, set up punchline, tag, you call that back 3 jokes later. I didn't feel any of that while watching your set, and yet it just flowed so wonderfully, and it just sounds like a guy talking to you who's funny.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, Joel. Sorry, my wife is sending me clips of my friend on a podcast. God damn it.
It's the world we live in.
Oh, my God. She's in the next room.
That's okay.
I really think that, like, I learned, I like, when I was coming up, it was like, you were doing stand-up as you were here in places where a lot of the people, A, didn't know there was going to be a comedy show. Mm-hmm. B, are upset that they can't play pool because of the comedy show. C, maybe went out to see just comedy, but they have no idea who they're going to see. Yeah. And they think they know comedy. And it's George Carlin and Jeff Dunham. And if anyone else tries anything different, then that is not the comedy that them, an expert in comedy, was there to see. So it's like all these ambush shows, you maybe had 30 seconds to get the people.
Right.
And if you didn't, the next hour in Gillette, Wyoming was going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you. So when you first start doing stand-up, you're dirty, you're outlandish, you have a bunch of jokes about taboo stuff, and that doesn't work. So then it's like, okay, I need to be funny now as quick as possible. And then I need to keep being funny or else they're going to play darts. Mm-hmm. So it was just this like rapid fire shaking. I call it shaking keys, man. Okay. I'm spinning plates. Yeah. I'm shaking keys. Like I really want them to, I need to be, my punchlines per minute is like pretty high compared to a lot of comics. Uh-huh. And it's a defense mechanism. It's not that I'm like, you know, able to pack jokes in or so joke dense or like I really write the shit out of it. It's like, no, here's a quick joke. Here's three tags.
Yeah.
Here's some goofing. Here's a callback to that. And I'm like doing all your classic tricks, but like hopefully there's not as much artifice. And I think that just comes from 20 years in stand-up.
Yeah, well, it does.
I really, really appreciate what you said. Like,
because it doesn't.
Sorry I'm talking so much about me.
No, it's great, but it doesn't feel like you stop one joke, start the next joke. It feels like there's a line. It's a wavy line, but there is a line through that whole thing.
Sure, and I'm like not really obsessed with like making sure that it makes sense like fluidly because like in the room, if you're like I'm a live comic, I'm a nightclub comic. Like hopefully that's just a flyer that gets them to come see me live because stand-up's better live. And also like I improvise a lot. That's how I figure out bits is like you're riffing and then it works and then you try and do it the next night and riff on it more. Yeah. So like all these things come from like organic moments that I've discovered on stage. Mm-hmm. And when you like kind of riff the thing initially, then you're able to say it in that way. And it sounds conversational. And like my favorite compliment is when people come up and they're like, so how much of that did you make up tonight? Was that like 60%?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I feel like that first half hour you were just cooking and then you went into some bits and it's like, yeah, man, I have to have a repeatable product here. So, I mean, there are some nights where I'm able to improvise for long moments and it's like, you know, a 20-minute riff, but, you know, I don't want to pull back the curtain too much, but the sausage is getting made.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Yeah.
What a compliment. I mean, for any comedian, that is so great when people just say, oh, you must have made that up. What a compliment to a comedian. People
so sweet. And when a comic like you says, they were like, you know, I could, it was great. It was so, it was like, I just appreciate that.
Well,
so much,
you know,
Joel,
as someone who teaches comedy, I'm teaching them, we'll set up the bit this way and tag it. Can you call that back later? At the end of your set, do a joke that summarizes all of the things that you said. This is what you're telling people who've never done comedy before. And then with you,
and it works.
It does work. Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, and it's great. And it's okay. It's like not hacky to follow the things that have worked for 100 years. Mm-hmm. But when you've been doing it for a long time, my favorite instance of someone just being so good at it that they're over it, you know? You ever seen someone crush and you can tell they're like rolling their eyes at the ovation they're getting? So like Josh Blue is a Denver guy.
Yeah, we just had him. He comes every year. Yeah, we love Josh.
I adore Josh. Yeah. I don't know if there's a better nightclub comedian than Josh Blue.
He's awesome.
He had an hour though where he must, his during the hour, his tagline for that hour, because he turns over shit every year, was he would do a callback that he'd say, "Remember from earlier," and everyone would laugh. And he did that like throughout the set. That was his tag.
Yeah.
And then at the end of his hour, he must have done 15 callbacks, like all layered upon each other. And the crowd is frothing. They're doing the worm. People are turning into pillars of salt. And I'm watching him from the side of the stage, and he looks over at me and he does the face of like, I don't, these people are so, you know, these people are fucking stupid. It's like, it's like he's so good and he knows exactly what he's doing, and he gets off stage and I'm like, dude. And he's like, I know, I'm a hack. And it's like, yeah, you're a hack. You got two standing ovations in the first 15 minutes. You're a total hack, Josh. So I love watching the craft get to the point where it's like the guy's tired of making the perfect plate, or like the master glass blower who's like so over making perfect globes that he like wants to talk to you about like trading cards.
It's like
I'm never gonna. I hopefully never get there.
Well, it's like they say with tradesmen, the Friday, right? You never want to buy a thing made on a Friday. You never want, you know, that's the comedian.
Never buy a car made on Friday.
Yeah, that's the comedian's, like, you know, Sunday show or late show Friday.
Yeah, it's like also early show Friday is so weird because it's like you guys were at work an hour ago.
It sure is. Ours is so
you
early
guys are
now.
Pissed. Yeah.
7:15 at the Comedy Castle.
Well, dude, some of the Funny Bones do a 6 o'clock for Friday.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
And it's like, dude, people are showing up in their like Meineke gear. Like there's like nurses and scrubs. Like, I'm so like, you want to go out and be like, I know the sun is still up.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. 7:15 is perfect.
And then finally, I will end on this because we could talk all day. But another thing from the special that I saw that really hit home for me, the very end after the credits, a man gets thrown out of Go Bananas in Cincinnati, and it's all in the special. That was so entertaining for me to see.
It was just so funny that, like, he was there. He was wasted. He was wearing Browns gear. And as soon as he came in, I was like, well, we're not going to be able to use tonight's taping. I think you see in the special, his nephew is with him as they're getting kicked out. And his nephew's like, I'm so sorry. I'm a huge fan. And then next time I'm in Cleveland, that kid comes and he's like, hey, dude, I brought my uncle to your taping. And I was like, that was you. And he's like, I'm so sorry. That night, we both got arrested, but not together. So, you know, I apologize. I'm here seeing you. And I'm like, dude, it's okay. It was very funny. But yeah.
Wow.
You know, don't wear Browns gear to a Bengals bar.
Yeah,
we all know that.
Don't do that. And if you are at the Comedy Castle, don't do something that may ask you to be thrown out, because that'll be me or Bill doing it or both of us. And that's never good. And yes, you can't.
And Bill, you know, Bill worked for the Yakuza for a while. So he wants to show some of the things he learned in the Far East.
That's true. But yeah. And I can,
he's the man. He's such a mysterious character. He like works at DIA.
He does.
And like, I think he's a member of the Scorpion Club. Every time I get around that guy, I'm like, all right, this guy's just a big slab of meat. And then he's like, you know, I've been spending a lot of time doing paintings. And I'm like, I should never judge anyone ever.
I, you know, hey, that's that persona. If he has that persona to you, then he's doing okay. Because I've known the guy for over a decade.
I mean, the man's fingers are as thick as many wrists that I've seen. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
I love Bill as this international, secretive, cultured man under the hard exterior of a biker.
Yeah, he looks like he knows where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. But, you know, he probably does. He's been in this city long enough.
Well, this might be the first episode of this show that Bill actually listens to when he found.
Hey, shout out Bill. I drop his name at DIA all the time, and they're like, yeah, we can't go get Bill. He's in the vault.
Well, you know, maybe Bill is, but he could be Banksy. You ever think of that? It also, that could be true.
Dude, Joel, I think about Bill a lot, actually. He's like the coolest Detroit guy.
Well, You know what would be a better use of your brain power, Sam? Anything else. Anything else in the world would be more worth your brain power than thinking about Bill. But yes, come see Bill. If even if you're like, this Sam guy's no good, the guy working the door is very interesting. In a...
If you want a firm handshake with a lot of rings in it, please.
All right. Sam Talent, we'll see you this weekend, man. Super fun talking to you. Everybody, you know, check out the special, but come out live, right? Not going to be the same material. Yeah, the special.
And also, I have the cheapest tickets in comedy.
Do you really?
I'm doing everything I can to keep the barrier to entry real low. I make my own merch. I made a bunch of cool, like, Lions shirts for the weekend.
Yeah. I'll take one.
Yeah, they're all, hand-stamped by me. Nice. I will. I'll bring in a 4X for you, Joel.
We might talk about that this weekend, too. I'm trying to. You're looking svelte. I don't know what you're doing, but you're looking good, Sam. I've been checking out your.
Hey, man. I'll tell you what I tell everyone. It was the old-fashioned way, gypsy curse. I need to find the other half of the amulet because I'm very sick.
All right, Sam. We'll see you this weekend. Thanks so much, dude.
Thank you, Joel. Right,
bye-bye. Well, we did it. So much to unpack when you talk to Sam, man. He's just one of those guys. So funny, comes up with stuff on the fly, a great writer, has a great spirit, just seems to be in a good mood, never seen Sam in a bad mood, and real treasure, pleasure to talk to him, and a super great weekend at the Comedy Castle. If you want to be sort of on the cutting edge of comedy and want to know who is that next big star, people walk in, they see Nate Bargatze on the wall at the Comedy Castle, and they can't believe he was at the Comedy Castle. And I tell them, I go, he played here for probably 8 years straight, one weekend a year. First few times he came, didn't sell any tickets. Now he's everywhere. Now he's one of the biggest comics in America. He start the Comedy Castle, walk our walls, see, walk the hallways, check out who started their career, who we got on the come up. Because it's so many legends in 46 years of presenting shows at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Mark has always brought you the best. We continue to do that with Sam Talent this weekend. So shout out again to Sam. Shame about Lund going out and headlining Lund. I am going to, I don't know, I'm kind of mad at Lund. We should settle this, Lund. What do you think, dude? I don't know. Maybe a Texas death match, Lund? Huh? You want to put a barbed wire bat on a pole and do that match? Nah, he's headlining Cincinnati, so shout out to Lund. We'll see him again. But Sam is there this weekend. Again, Elena Banfield opening. It's going to be a great weekend. We want you to come out. I'm going to stop talking. Again, the Advanced Comedy Class, November 1st. I want you to show up there. You can talk comedy like me. That's what we do. When I talk to Sam Talent like this, this is what we do every Saturday at the Advanced Comedy Class. Make your comedy better. I'm telling you, you got to do it. It's so great. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks to Mark Ridley. Thanks to Bill Bouchard for coordinating a lot of these guests that we do. And we're going to catch you next week. We'll see you this weekend at the club. Bye-bye.